Next Step 281, October 24th, 2013.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vosken. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosken provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and, of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, it's Father Vosken, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that looks at life, at spiritual, the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today, call it an Armadoxy look. I invite you to take that look with us as we combine ancient to spiritual messages and chants with rock and roll. Now, how else can we say it? This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. And if you're ready, I know I am, let's take the next step. It is a Thursday morning, and we are starting off rather early today because we're getting ready to take a long walk. We're going to be walking 6 miles over here. What does that translate? Something like about 8, 9, 10 kilometers for you out there in Europe? Well, whatever it is, maybe let's call it by hours because that's uniform, okay? About a 2.5 hour walk. We're going to be moving quite a few people through the towns of Glendale and Burbank, heavily, heavily populated by the Armenian presence. And there's a reason why we're doing this, to bring attention to domestic violence. Oh, yeah, people don't talk about that, but we are. We're going to be walking today from our St. Peter Church to the cathedral, St. Leon's Cathedral in Burbank, and clogging up some traffic and making it a little difficult for people to commute. But in doing so, we'll be drawing attention to this alarming problem, epidemic proportions. Epidemic. Can you believe that? We had it on tip from one of our, do we call them informants? Or one of our people down at the DA's office. There is one person who has spent all day, just Armenian language, dealing with domestic violence issues. 8 hour day, okay? They prosecute two of these individuals every single day, Armenian families. I mean, do the math. What is that? 10 a week? That's, what is it? About 500 people. Oh, yeah, that's epidemic. Epidemic, and nobody's talking about it. Actually, I'm going to be talking about it in a different way in just a couple minutes because I'm fired up this morning. Because, you know, I did my morning ritual. I started looking through the different things that came in overnight. It is, like, absurd what people are talking and buzzing about, especially when there's this kind of danger happening. But I'm so proud to be part of an organization. Yes, we founded it a few years ago called Dativ Outreach. And it's a very, very simple premise. Not only does it go by the name of the saint or the city, St. Krikor Dativatsi, but the name itself means Dativ, to give wings. And the premise is that simple. Can we give wings? Whether it's to women, to their children, to the men, to the families, to give them wings, to rise from their environment, rise from their situation, from their struggles, and get to be the people that God intends them to be. And this is an incredible task, and you'll find out that there are so many stumbling blocks. many of which come from right from the community itself. But, you know, when you talk about this, you also got to talk about the power that God has given you. If you believe that this is, you know, some, well, I just said a minute ago, right? That bring the people to the point that God intends them to be. Okay, what is that? That's pretty bold of you to say that, right? But God, you know God's intention? Well, yeah, I do. It's pretty simple, right? It's the simplicity of love. God intends us to be the best we can be. I mean, is that so difficult to figure out, right? There's a potential there. Maximize the potential. And it's pure physics, right? It's the potential energy turning into kinetic energy. Whoa! Yeah, it works. Well, that's it. And if you're hiding, if you are at potential energy, if you are, you have that potential, but it's being hid under somebody else's oppression, right? You're the victim of domestic violence. We have to remove that domestic violence, whatever kind it is, whether it's somebody beating you or somebody beating you with their words and their emotions. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." You are a light. You do not take that light and hide it under a bushel basket. Instead, you put it up on the light stand so it to everyone who enters the room, to the world. Okay, it's that simple. You are the light of the world. That's your potential. Now put yourself up on that light stand. Put yourself up on that table and light up. Turn it into kinetic energy. Movement, action. Yeah, that's how simple it is. And that's what Dativ Outreach is about. Okay, giving the wings. Dativ, to give wings so that people can actually move, can become energetic. And now, I shared with you last week about that ugly, disgusting violation of human rights that took place in Glendale, California, because, you know, I'm the lowly priest and I'm not supposed to understand understand Constitution. And I shared with you how the Glendale attorney tried to suppress my freedom of speech. Well, it was interesting because I got a lot of response. And one response in particular was very, very timely for me. Because this listener wrote in and said, you know, let me back up. If you didn't catch last week's, do catch it. It's episode number 280, in which I talked about the Glendale attorney and her trying to come into my life, invading my rights. And it was a question of over, can you say Jesus Christ? And this listener wrote to me and said, you know, the whole thing is that Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life. And it struck me that, yeah, that's what we're doing. It's not. Religion is that potential energy. A way of life is the kinetic energy. Okay, we're not talking about potential. We're talking about a way of life. Do you live this way? And hence, if you follow it through, you figure out what Jesus is talking about when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is love. Love is the way. Everybody thinks that, okay, it's to some mythical place or to some place out in the future. He's talking about, in very real terms, that is the way to life. To kinesis, to be able to live, to move, the movement. And so all of this came together this week, and it was pretty exciting. I want to thank all of you for your prayers and for basically for your interaction, for your comments that you shared with me over that incident. So getting back to our story, yes, tonight we're going to be walking for domestic violence. Now let me tell you something other interesting. By the way, I didn't tell you what's coming up in our show today. We have Gala Danilova. Yes, she is back in the United States. She did a really wonderful little bit of traveling here in the West Coast, getting the word out about landmine clearance. I have her in the studio. I had her a couple days ago, and we'll play that, a little clip. Not about the landmine so much as about life in general. So she's coming up in a couple minutes right after the song of the day. But let me continue on the Dachev Outreach, we're going to be walking for domestic violence, bringing around awareness, and we end up at the St. Leon Cathedral. Now, what's going to be interesting about this, it happens that there's going to be a reception for the Patriarch of Jerusalem, the newly elected Patriarch of Jerusalem. Now, this is the most powerful man in the Armenian Church. You say, well, what about, he's not a Catholic. He goes, no, he's an archbishop. But powerful in the sense that he is the head, the custodian of the most sacred places on earth, basically the holy city of Jerusalem and the sacred sites, the birthplace of Christ, the Holy Sepulchre, where his body was placed after the crucifixion and before the resurrection, the custodian of the holiest shrines in Christendom. As well as the Abrahamic traditions, right? Because we know that the holy city is cut up into four sections, quarters they call them, and one of them is the Christian quarter, one of them is the Jewish quarter, and one of them is the Muslim quarter. Guess what the fourth one is? The Armenian quarter. Whoa! Wait a minute, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Armenian? Yeah. And so when I say the most powerful man in the Armenian church, well, definitely he comes from the international city. And so he's going to be there tonight at the diocese when we approach. Now, think about this. We're going to be talking about an issue that has been taboo, that doesn't get talked about too much. And we're going to be at the cathedral there and arriving. And the Patriarch of Jerusalem is going to be receiving us, in a sense, and he'll be offering his words. Now, interestingly enough, in a couple days, there's going to be a conference directly across the street from the Armenian Cathedral in Los Angeles, okay? So, this is across the street, is Woodbury University. Now, what is the conference? It's celebrating the anniversary of guess who? Mesrop Mashtots. Yeah, Mr. Mesrop Mashtots. No mention of sainthood, you know, of course. Because this is a secular event. Secular in the sense that, wait, look who's speaking at it. One of them is a priest of the Roman Catholic Church, going to be speaking about an Armenian Orthodox saint, Mesrop Mashtots, the Roman Catholic priest. A professor from, well, I believe he was at St. Narcissus. And there's going to be a defrocked priest talking, too, along with an assortment of different professors and doctors and things. But there's no mention of the church. Yeah, there's no church. It's organized by secular organizations, including Armenian political parties. No church. And so it's going to be interesting because here these people are going to be gathering together to talk about Mr. Mashtots and the influence he's had on Armenians. We're going to be talking about what's going on with Armenians right now. And basically, there is going to be a disconnect. Okay? We're going to be marching against domestic violence through the streets of Glendale and Burbank. We're ending up at the diocese exactly at the same time that there's a reception for the Patriarch of Jerusalem. And guess what? There will be a commotion. The same political parties, the same organizations that are organizing this conference this Saturday with to the exclusion of the church will be there tonight at the diocese. And they'll be representing themselves. They'll be paying respect to the patriarch, but that's all show. You know that they're going to be paying respect to themselves vis-a-vis the patriarch. Not one of them, not one of these political parties, not one of these Armenian organizations has recognized the plight of women in the Armenian community. The astronomical number of Armenian men prosecuted for beating their wives, alcohol and drug abuse offenses. Right now, the growing number of Armenian children in foster homes and orphanages. And so tonight we'll be forcing them to look. And I know they're going to applaud our effort. They're going to say this is very nice. And then they'll go back to sipping their champagne. And then Saturday morning, guess what? They'll assemble with the defrocked, with the Catholic priest, with the scholars, and they'll debate Mr. Mashtots, his influence on the Armenian people. Talk about disconnect. Talk about relevancy. talk about the next step, the need for the next step. This is unfolding just right now. Please pray for us over here. We're going to be back in a couple minutes with an interesting interview with Gala Danilova. Before that, let's get to the song of the day. Here is our friend Gor Mkhitaryan in a song that, well, it doesn't appear on any of his albums. In fact, he's dedicated it directly for our cause, for the use of Dativ Outreach. It is called New Life, about domestic violence. Tough subject. Beautiful voice. Moving song.
Հայրենի կումեր հնամյա ուրծնվում եմ հերոս կանայք Մենք չենք դառնում նրանց պաշտպան ու ոչ էլ հենարան Պարգևում եմ նրանք մեզ զավակներ բռնությունը ստանալով նվեր Մենք կործում ենք հարգանք ու սեր տալով միայն ցավեր Գենոցի մեջ նրանք միշտ թագուհի Բայց ապրում են որպես ստրկուհի Մեր խոսքերը ավաղ Դառնում են պարավ քամի Բավ է արդեն Ժամանակն է քո ասել Ապրելու կյանքով պայծառով Թող ամենցավ անցյալի մութ խորքերում Ու դարձիր վերածնված մի հայուհի
Mkhitaryan playing New Life. Yeah, you won't find that tune anywhere on his collection. Actually, it is a special song that he has written about domestic violence, a domestic violence problem in Armenia. He says, from the old days, you know, Armenian women were just looked with such reverence. What happens now that they are on the receiving end of hits of abuse? And it's an interesting question that he puts out in song. That's called New Life, and it's one of his newer productions. Actually, he's got a few. If there's anybody interested, hey, get in touch with me. I would love to put together a new CD and sponsor it for Gor Mkhitaryan. Just a wonderful talent, wonderful human being. He actually, we were together just a couple weeks ago when Gala Danilova spoke at the Western Diocese. She spoke about landmine clearance and a new organization. I'll put the website on our show notes today. It is called Land Free Artsakh. Artsakh, of course, the Armenian name for Nagorno-Karabakh. And some 20 years ago, there was a big war over there. And landmines put by both sides, by Armenians as well as Azeris, still remain, haunting and maiming and killing, up until today, yes, killing people who play, without knowing about these mines, the presence of these mines, will blow off a limb, will be maimed. And she presented an incredible presentation to the Southern California community. And she's been traveling throughout California this past, I want to say the whole year, actually. She was out here in March, and you got to listen to her here on The Next Step in an interview about landmines. And she's back here this month doing another tour of the state, informing and raising money to clear off these mines. Like I said, I will put a link on today's show notes so you can check out the Land Free Artsakh Project and the committee and their work, and make a donation if you so please, but definitely get the word out to your friends. But today I invited her into the studio to talk about some other things, because she is a fascinating individual, a young lady who is making a go of it in a very patriarchal, male-dominated area of the world. And I just thought it was fascinating if we could just get her to talk a little bit. So I invited her into the studio a couple days ago. We sat across from each other over the microphone. Here is Gala Danilova. Well, I am sitting across from our old friend, not old, but an old-time friend, Gala, who is known to us here on this show. And she's from Artsakh, and she's here to do some landmine clearance fundraising. But today, I'm just going to talk about that very quickly and then get on to some other things. So, welcome, Gala.
Thank you, Father Vazkin. I'm very happy that I'm here again next to this beautiful microphone.
Oh, I'm
and you.
Well, I'm glad you're. How's it going? You came here once again this within a year to do some fundraising. Has it been good? Has it been fruitful?
Yeah, the second time this year. I've been here in March, and as it's going further, the thing's getting better. And actually, this trip was even better than in the beginning of this year.
Well, that's good. I know we had a big event a few weeks ago at the diocese, and I got to hear you, and it was just really beautiful that, you know, people were waking up to the story. So,
yeah, that was a very good event.
The Landmine Free Artsakh campaign. What a wonderful group of people that put together a great, great event. But like I said, I want to talk to you about some other things.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, Gala, as you remember, last time we were talking about the entire idea of wars and violence, because obviously when we think about landmines and you start thinking, okay, there's a clearance issue, but why are they there in the first place? And something I learned just this time in your presentation, that these are not just landmines placed there by Azeris, these are placed there by Armenians as well, right? So basically both sides are trying to kill the other side. That's the rule of war, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so violence, war, and you said something very interesting about, like, well, what do you do? Somebody sets your house on fire. What's your answer? And you said, how do you answer that? And you questioned me. I want to ask you that. I want to start there. How do you answer that? What do you do? Somebody sets your house to fire.
Well, that's difficult, because every time you think about that, you're trying to keep yourself calm down and say, well, we shouldn't do the violence. And you should put down the fire and make sure that everything's okay. But then if someone is really getting involved in your life, like every day is a violence from a person in your life, what should you really do? Do you have to stay calm? Do you have to find a direction to explain to him? Or you should do the same violence back, just mm-hmm. for him to understand how it feels, to the person who get a violence.
And then we get into the cycle, right? The cycle that one violence, and then the only way to combat it is more violence.
Yes.
And that's the beginning of war, right?
Yeah, this is how the things work, unfortunately, in this world. But a lot of people just have to think that if someone stops something, then the second one will stop another thing. And then the hundreds and thousands can stop their other things. And then probably in that time, the violence will stop around the world.
Okay, you're in it every day. You see violence every day. Is the aftermath. You see people that are blown up. You see people that are maimed, that are dead. And you have to deal with their families. And then what is there an answer beyond more violence? I mean, how can you stop that? I mean, isn't that the ultimate question?
Well, yeah. One way was minds, it's a clearance actually, what we do, what we're trying to complete that, to stop that violence which was left. It's a hidden violence of the landmines which were left after the war and an exploded ordnance which hurt still people. And the answer to that is just a clearance, which is very simple, actually, if you take it practically. In a practical way, when you've done the clearance, that's it, it's gone. But what about human violence? When someone physically or emotionally hurts another one. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've seen around. Back to my country as well.
Let's go from violence to life. Tell me about life. You come from a different part of the world, and we were just talking earlier about offline. We were talking about the issue of domestic violence, and again, a violent issue and everything. But what is it? What is the component of life? So you have an opportunity to compare a little bit.
Yeah,
you come from a different background.
If we take the violence generally for me, like a topic, it comes from the violence itself comes from the nature. For me, there is a lot of violence among the animals, and that's a balance of the world.
But is that violence for the sake of violence? Is it to kill or is it to eat? Is it for
That to survive. It's a violence to survive. But there is a violence in the nature as well.
Okay.
You agree or?
I think there is violence in nature. You can't disagree with that. But what's the purpose of that violence? I mean, why does a lion kill? It kills to eat, right?
He kills to eat, and in the same way, he's keeping a balance in the world. But this is an animal world. This is not a human being. Mm-hmm. And a human being has a brain to think, do he really need to do that to survive? If someone is hurting another one, is this really the reason to survive? The reason to leave? No. There are some other reasons, and you can't really tell. It's so many things that bring to the violence between the people. It can be culture, it can be just the way that people live. It can be so many things. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say, violence between the humans is not a necessity, which is necessity in an animal life.
Yes, but it is also, you know, there is population controls that a lot of time wars do that as an outcome of it. Population is controlled in that
yes.
way. I mean, I think about here in California, we have these forests, and there's a natural order to the forests that they have to catch on fire every 100 years, not because they're out of control, but if they don't catch on fire, there's so much leaves that the sun can't get
it's
down to the roots. Yeah,
it's an update.
Yeah,
everything has to be updated.
I know. Yeah, Windows 8.1 came out yesterday, and we updated immediately. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but then we have to update ourselves as well, and this is a point. So why we're not updating ourselves to not have a violence around?
Well, because the bottom line is that life is precious, life is sacred, and so when you take away human life, then you're starting to talk about something that's unacceptable. So we can talk about it, though we do violence on the cows, on the chickens, but that's a matter of, you know, they're expendable. But when it comes to human life, then we start talking about issues of violence, meaning war, meaning the sanctity of life.
Yes.
And what I'd like to hear from you is, like, you've come from a place that has been war torn. You actually, your whole story is one of escaping violence.
Yes.
From your childhood and everything. And then you come to a place like this. You come to America, where really there isn't violence for preservation. We're not killing each other because I want your territory. We're killing each other for what? There's a lot of violence here, but what are we killing each other for? It's
the thing is, everything comes from the comparison. I think if we put a family
which has a violence inside in a very bad condition where they have to survive every day for something, I think there will not be time for violence for them. Life is not very easy here in US. Though a lot of people around the world think that US actually is a beautiful country where life is just, you know, it's a Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Hollywood. Yeah. But it's difficult. It has its own problems. I mean, life here is a violence to the people who lives here as well. It's
very
a lot of
well
driving.
Said. Yeah.
It's a lot of driving, and it's such a hard work every day to survive.
Mm-hmm.
In this big world, and you have completely different problems like we have back to my country. But what I'm trying to say, if take a family from here and put it in another conditions where they probably can appreciate the values of life, real values of life, they probably stop have a violence between each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main reason for the violence is when people are losing their values of life.
The values of life. I agree with you. The life is no longer sacred, so it's no longer...
Exactly.
It doesn't have the value.
Exactly.
Values
it's
in
like
a different way.
It's like having the first type of Nokia phone and then a last iPhone, updated one.
Did you get it, your iPhone?
No, I know.
Okay.
So I still have a good value of life.
That's for sure. If you don't get an iPhone, you have a better value of life. I agree with that. Gala, we talked a little bit offline about the issues of domestic violence. I know that you're going to be joining us for our walk this Thursday. Tell me about Artsakh. I mean, it's interesting for me what you were telling me about the laws that there's. And I think what you're describing in Artsakh is not just Artsakh, it's most of the world is like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, which is really great here, and I can see that this country has laws and people follow to them. If the violence happened in your house, you know that you can give a call to the police department or to the legal authorities and they will stand behind you. So
yeah,
they will help you. And then another step is a group, so will take care of you in a psychological way or just a financial way. While back to my country, when there is a violence between, let's say, the husband and the wife, there's no one who can stand behind them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one who can stand behind the wife who was beaten because there is no law. You cannot give a call to the police and say, my husband is beating me.
Because it's legal.
It's not illegal, this is a tradition.
It's not illegal, yeah. Yeah.
It's a mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
these things can happen on the 21st century.
Yeah.
So I think the most important for us, and back in Artsakh, I'm not saying that everyone is like that, but that happens. The most important is just to bring an awareness about that this is actually wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the right way. And you always can explain to the person who is next to you that he is wrong. It doesn't have to be beaten or it's not a physical abusement. It's not the solution for the problem.
Yeah, what interests me is that if there is no legal it's interesting to me because, like you're saying, there's no legal parameters to domestic violence. So, okay, so it's not illegal. So when does morally, ethically, how does that play in? Okay, doesn't the person feel morally responsible for a wife or for a husband and say, hey, you know what, this is wrong. I don't care if there's a law or not. Like, stealing.
It should be. It should be.
You know, if there's no law against stealing, would you go out and steal?
Well, there is...
I wouldn't. It's not about the law. It's just, you know, that it doesn't belong to me. Why would I go steal that, you know?
There is no law to get in... to be loved by someone or to get in love with someone, but people get in love with someone and they have this feeling. So why don't we have this feeling that violence is bad? I think everything is coming from the culture. The culture itself has to change.
Mm-hmm.
People have to start to think that this is not the things how it should be happen.
Yeah.
And if someone has a problem with another one, there's always this first solution has to be the conversation. That's why we're human beings. So why do we have this brain if we cannot explain the things we're feeling or we want to do?
Right. It's a good question. Why do we have this brain? It gets us into trouble too, you know?
Yeah.
And we think too much, right?
Well, there is a saying, they say, my tongue is my enemy. But in the same way, your tongue can be your friend.
Yeah.
And if sometimes wives say the wrong things, a man cannot stand that. Or they cannot explain that they shouldn't do that. And that's how the violence happen.
Yeah, it's not an excuse for violence. It's not an excuse, but it's an explanation of what's going on.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, both sides of the violence have to use their brains to understand that there is a way to find a conversation and a peace between just by sitting down next to each other and talk.
I think the first time that I learned how to play chess, it kind of it went in my head that there's a lot of strategy here. And when I started seeing the strategy in it, I said that why can't we just solve all of our problems by using our head and saying, okay, I'm smarter than you, you're smarter than me, whoever it is, that's the person who wins, you know, and so that's who's in charge.
Of course, my mom.
But it doesn't happen that way. Right?
My mom always say there's, in a couple, someone has to be smarter than the other one.
Yeah.
And to find the solutions. So, unfortunately, there are cases that two of both of people who are involved in a marriage are not smart enough to stop doing something which brings to the violence.
Right.
So, besides of using your brain, you have to have your own limits as well.
Hmm.
Because it's not about ego. The violence is an ego. When you use your ego, you'll be abusing the other people.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop using that, it's rather than looking on the things objectively, not subject, not take the things like the subject. It's not looking from your own tower. Get out of your ego and don't use it, because violence is this is your second ego, which goes out.
Well, you said earlier, you said that violence for you was just part of human nature. It was part of the natural thing, right? Do you believe that there are people who cannot be violent? Do you believe that the peaceful... Why can't we accept that being at peace is also part of our nature?
Yeah, it is a part of our nature. And the violence comes out when people are struggling. And people are struggling every day.
Yes. So now you're getting to economics.
It's so many reasons around.
Right? But it is. I mean,
it is.
Basically, if everybody's content with what they have, you don't have the violence.
Yes.
You don't need the chess game.
Yeah.
You don't need to, you know. So you come down to a Marxian equation, right?
Yeah. Yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is, what I really believe is, if everyone will found something good in themselves on which they can base, even when they get angry, because I get angry very often, but I'm trying to find that good gala somewhere when I'm angry to say, okay, just stop it, bring the good gala back.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and think and try to think the ways, not be aggressive, not mm-hmm. be angry, because this is not a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Even I can be aggressive sometimes.
You aggressive?
Yeah, that happens.
That happens. I want to talk about the other day we had a chance to be at a wedding together, and it was a celebration. Can you compare that? It was kind of a nice little celebration evening, but I imagine from where you come from, and it's important to me to understand different ways. We talk about different ways of celebrating life. You know, it's not always about different ways of how we combat life, but how about celebration? What were your feelings the other night? I mean, it was a great little celebration.
It was amazing.
It was a typical Armenian wedding here in Los Angeles. But tell me what your impressions were.
I was really impressed with, actually, I was really impressed with Bride.
In what way?
It was just first time I've seen the bride who came into the room where the guests were sitting, and she was just dancing all the evening.
Mm.
It was such a wonderful thing. You can feel that she's really celebrating the great event in her life. I mean, I've seen a lot of weddings back to my country as well, but most of the time, or let's say 30% of the time, brides are just sitting on her table and watching the guests eating and dancing. And then she danced a bit, and then she sit back. Well, on this wedding, I just seen everyone was celebrating. That was such a nice event. I really liked to be there. And I was inspired, actually, by that as well. I felt myself so happy.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a very nice wedding, and it was great just watching you observe all this and take it in. So what was really interesting for you then, what you're saying, is the bride coming in and dancing all night. Now, how does that differ? I mean, she shouldn't have celebrated? I didn't know. I'm not following. What's unusual?
Unusual for me is she was doing what her heart was doing. Her heart was celebrating that. And she was celebrating as well.
I see.
Back to my country, I would say that people are not very open to celebrate what their heart want to do.
Mm.
And that's a problem.
That is a problem.
Yeah. I think people have to be more relaxed about what they're doing.
Follow your heart, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that could get you in trouble too.
Well, there's always a limit. That's what I'm saying. People have to limit it themselves.
If you follow your brain, it's then logical. So you go A plus B equals C, B plus C equals D. Therefore, you know, you can make your equation. But when you follow your heart, it's like, okay, A equals C, and too bad, you know. this is the way it is, you know. And
yeah, but all the emotions we have in our life, they are endless and they have no limits. But then the limit is our body and our brain. If we just live according to our emotions, I think it's a lot of things which will not happen in this life, and the good things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that our emotions are inside our bodies, and it's limited by brain as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually another case. I know we were thinking about going and seeing bodies. We were just talking actually just a couple of days ago. We were talking about like the whole experience of where is that emotion? Is it really inside of our body? Is it outside? I mean, you get to the whole idea of soul. Where does the soul exist? Is it really inside of us? And then if so, then are we restricted by the things that happen around us? And the reason why this was coming out is there was a big discussion lately in among Armenian church about cremation.
Yeah.
Should we burn the body? And actually, you know what I thought is like, what if we got it wrong? What if there's still something inside of you even when the body stops functioning? And then you're inside of this box and you're way into the earth.
Well, and actually, I told my family to be cremated after my death.
Well, yeah, after cremate, at least if you cremate it, it's finished.
I don't want to trust this earth.
Yeah, because
with my body.
Yeah, because then the little bugs come in and all that. Yeah. So we were just talking about that. So it was an interesting little thing. Like, yeah, I know. I'm with you.
Body is not a memory of you. Yeah. The memory of you is in the people's hearts and minds. So why do you need to leave your body on this earth?
Well, not only that, what if it's not over? What if there's still a little bit of you still going, you know, even though the body's shut down? And then you're trapped inside of there, and then you're inside this little box.
Well, you shouldn't think about that.
Well, it's like, what would you, wouldn't you think about it right now if somebody said, okay, we're taking you right now and trapping you inside of this little box and putting you inside the ground? Yeah, you think about it.
Yeah,
you don't want it. That's a torture. So that's all I'm saying is, what if when you're dead, you did not.
Yeah,
dead.
And I'm claustrophobic. I don't want to be there.
Yeah,
even after when I'm dead.
Burning is just a lot easier. Anyway, let's get on to some nicer topics, because these topics are very, especially since we didn't go see bodies today. We were going to go out there.
It's good we didn't go.
Yeah. That was actually, it's an interesting idea. For those of our listeners who are not familiar, here we have this show called Bodies, and you go in there, cut up human beings. Now it even sounds worse than it is. But anyway, they've preserved them and everything. But it's interesting because there's there's speculation that these bodies have been taken from third world countries where they've paid, you know, basically a few cents for them and a means out of poverty. And we go back to the whole issue of the sanctity of life, the sacredness of it, and what
so
you said earlier,
is it
the value, the value.
So is this a violence?
Yeah.
It's another violence.
It's violence for money, you know, and it's...
Exactly.
So if I have enough money, I can do the things that I want to, and it's basically losing the value of life, right?
Yeah. And in this case, it's not even losing the value of life. It's losing the value of the spirit as well,
mm-hmm.
of a soul. Because if people think that they have to be buried in a soil after their death, so why should that body be standing there?
Right, right.
So anyway, as I said, let's think about the live people rather than about dead ones.
Okay, well then let's talk about live people. Okay, tell me about live people.
The best thing about live people, we can enjoy every day.
Live people.
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
We can enjoy every second.
And if you're not live, you can't enjoy it. That's what I'm saying. Maybe we don't know that. Maybe it's possible that.
No, but it's really great. If you're taking the general life, you are living every second, and every second is not usual.
Okay, are you having any? Now you've been coming often this year. You came twice. There's possibility you might come sooner than 5 years. You know,
yeah.
Because you've been here a few times. Do you have any disconnect from over there, from the people over there? When you go back, is it difficult to adjust? Or
no.
With people that know you?
No, really. That's actually a good question, because when I moved to Karabakh from Baku, I was a completely different person. And I kept my personality and individuality through all of these years.
Yeah.
What I really like when I come here in US, I'm taking out that personality, individuality, which is buried somewhere very far while I'm in Karabakh.
Ah. So over here, you're a different person. It's a...
Over here, I'm an open mind person.
We call that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Yeah, it's a... I guess it has to do with split personality. We won't go into that. That's annoying. Sorry, and you certainly don't fit that model. You know, it's just, but it refers to two different personalities. And but I think that that's true. I don't think it's just a question of being here and over there. I think we do that just every day. I'm one person when I'm at home. I'm another person at work.
Sure.
The way I am with my wife is different than I am with somebody I work with. The way I am with my children, yeah.
That's the beauty of this life.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have different emotions, different moments in your life, different feelings, different people, different ways, different places.
Exactly, exactly. So when you get back there, you've come from such a dramatically different world over here. Is there adjustment?
No, it's not an adjustment, no. Because I really connected to that place. The thing which doesn't let me to be adjusted or not, the why I feel myself comfortable, because I love that place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my home. You cannot be adjusted to something which you love.
I like that. It's a nice way to end today.
Yes, exactly.
I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. And I'm looking forward to doing some big things with you at a distance over there. And hopefully we can get some of the dots of outreach stuff out your way too.
It will be wonderful if we can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was great to be here as well one more time. And for listeners who will listen to that, I'm telling hello. Mm-hmm. And maybe the next one, this session together, a conversation, we will not record here in LA. That will happen in Artsakh.
Okay.
In some pretty area.
I'm going to let you deal with the details on that, okay?
Okay.
You take care of it, and
yeah.
I'll be there.
Great.
Okay, thank
you. So, see you there.
Okay.
Bye.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. the message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. I know I did. And, you know, that was a nice wish that Gala made toward the end of her interview. She said, the next time, how about doing it in Artsakh? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wild? Hey, I would love to do it. And it happens. Dreams do come true when we wake up. And one of the dreams that has come true for us, of course, is Epostle and this ministry that we have. And as Susie just told you, there's a one... surefire way of thumbs-upping us is, hey, make a donation and become part of this ministry. But building on what Gala said, we are going to try to put together a trip to Armenia and to Artsakh next June. How's that? Specific date? I think it's going to be June 6th or 9th. I can't remember which way that number is inverted, but it's June 6th or 9th. Take a look at your calendar. If you are interested in going on an unusual trip to Armenia and Artsakh, unusual in the sense that I'm going to lead it and I'm going to be calling it a pilgrimage. In other words, going to some very holy shrines and doing some out of the ordinary, unusual things. So if you are interested in going with us, okay, we're going to make it an In His Shoes expedition to the Holy Land, Armenia and Artsakh. How's that? Drop me a line. Drop me a line today, because we need to know immediately, because we're trying to do things really quickly. Of course, prices change. They fluctuate. We're trying to get as low a price as possible. Yes, especially on the airfare. We do need to know today, next day, following day, as quickly as possible. Okay, drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. Say I'm interested in going on the pilgrimage, and just check your calendar. It's going to be most of June, okay, around the middle section of June. Like I said, either the 6th or 9th, we're taking off from Los Angeles, and you can meet us in Armenia. Of course, we have a lot of listeners who don't need to make the trek to LA, but we'd love to have you here too as well. But we can meet in Armenia. It is going to be fantastic. I will give you some more details as we get closer to it, but do let me know. Again, the email address is feedback@epostle.net, where you can also leave us donations. You can also leave us your comments, your concerns, and your prayers. Hey, listen, I'm going to put on my shoes right now and get ready to go on the domestic violence walk. We're going to be raising awareness right here in the heart of the Southern California Armenian community, Glendale and Burbank. I do need your prayers. Think about us, and I'll be back next week to share with you what happened over there. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining us right now. I want to thank the team that put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, and of course, Valher, our webman, and a very special thank you to Gala Danilova, wishing her all the best in all of her projects. Thanks for making the time and being with us. So this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.